listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job here today with myself, Jennifer K. Hill, Brandon Maslin, and we will introduce you in a moment to our incredible guest. If this is the first time that you're tuning in to Get Yourself the Job, to give you a quick 100,000 foot view overview, we've been on air since 2016, and you can find lots of the old episodes on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. And the purpose of the show is it started off with job hunting, of taking a 360-degree look at how to find your dream job. And over the years, it's really evolved into how do we connect to not just a job, but a career, a purpose. I'm so inspired. I just talked to a gentleman earlier today who I look forward to having on the show, whose focus is on helping teenagers to find their purpose and to help connect them with meaning. You know, isn't that what we all want in our life, is purpose and meaning? So the show would not be possible, though, if we didn't thank our sponsors, who I want to take a moment and say thank you to, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including executive search, payrolling functions, as well as temporary search. So please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. So without further ado, Brandon, I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce our esteemed guest today.
Esteemed is a great word for it. And Jennifer, I'm really curious to hear more about the expert on finding your passion as a teenager, especially given the fact that I think me and Stephen are on this continuous journey where we find our passion the further we go. So if I could have figured it out earlier, I could save myself a lot of difficulties, but it would have been less interesting, I guess. So actually a perfect segue, because Stefan Stubbins is the individual who helped me in more ways than I can count find my purpose and my passion when I moved to Los Angeles in particular. So his quick bio, and I'll give a little background on our connection. Stefan, one of our best friends calls him Stefan, so I'll just say Stephen. But for years, because of that, I thought it was an E-N, so. But I'm going to call you Stephen, because Stefan is just
thank you.
So Stephen Stubbins is a career transformation coach. His background includes performing on Broadway, working in a New York City hedge fund, and co-leading a startup from $84 to $4 million. As a result of his powerful one-on-one connection, and coaching framework, his clients have breakthrough to deep aha moments, empowering insights and significant life career strategies that transform their visions into realities. I certainly identify with that vision into reality approach. When I moved to Los Angeles after I had lost my mother tragically and had the reset button in my career, I would sit down and have these deep talks with Stephen about life and the trajectories that my life was taking, his life was taking. And in fact, and I might talk to Stephen if we can put a link to it somehow, but he wrote a great song that kind of summed up my 2010, and it was called Shit Year. And it was basically about the worst year in someone's life. And we had said, what if we build on this? And I said to Stephen, I'll never forget, I said, Stephen, I love the idea of building something more on it, but I haven't written anything worth really writing more of. Let's reconnect. And he sang a beautiful song at my wedding. That was sort of the end piece of what it is to leave your life behind and begin anew. So with that, I'm very excited for the audience and anyone who gets to listen to the wisdom, the passion, the creativity that is this brilliant Broadway coach, genius human. So Stephen, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's so great. I'm a listener to your radio show. So what a pleasure to finally get to be on, you know. And I love your focus on purpose, because as an artist, I think purpose and passion and really cluing into what's inside, what's deeper that motivates you, is really where the gold is, to having long-term satisfaction and success. And not just, like, I love the fact that your show is called Get Yourself the Job, not Get Yourself a Job, you know, that it's really coined into the purpose of getting the job that's really meaningful to you.
Jennifer, you're the guru behind the job. Was that your intention when you created it?
I wish I could say I was that consciously aware, but I would be lying, Stephen, if I said I was. Well, but like many things in life for me, and I know we're going to talk about this today, is listening to the deeper whispers of your heart and listening to the deeper whispers of our kind of greater consciousness. And so I'll give credit to deeper consciousness that somehow or another moved through when, you know, when we birthed that idea. And so I would love, though, because when we were talking offline about what we wanted to focus today's show on, I thought, what a great idea that you guys had mentioned of talking about emotional intelligence. And then specifically what I'm excited to get into in this episode is strategies to help ourselves. That's the one thing we can talk esoterically all day, every day about ideas of how to maybe live our lives more fulfilled, connect to deeper emotional intelligence. And I also love the strategy aspect. So, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind, maybe if you could start off a little bit by explaining from your perspective what emotional intelligence is, and then we can deep dive into some of the other topics.
Absolutely. Well, for me, emotional intelligence is a lot about, well, it's awareness and then connection and then being able to regulate and being able to really, with wisdom, in a sense, hack your emotions. So that you're moving with a much more emotionally intelligent place of moving forward rather than an emotionally reactive place. So it's really about that gap between when something happens and when you react, being able to be intelligent in that moment and have a wise reaction to it.
So Stephen, you mentioned the discussion at the beginning around and the importance of having a purpose or a goal.
Yeah.
And I've seen that time and time again in your career and your life and what you do for others. Is there a method you use or is there a strategy you use to help clarify what a goal is or to find a mission in one's life or career?
Yeah, I think one of the first things I would say is that our pasts have so much within them that can inform our futures. And when you look back to your past, is the moments that come up to you as like stories, let's say, the one or two stories of when you really felt in the flow or in the real energy of what was powerful for you, whether that was a moment in your job or whether that was a moment, a personal moment. When you look at the clues, what elements, you know, come out from those stories? What was the environment? Who were the people around you? What were they like? Basically mining the clues is a really good first way to start to say, what are my values based off of those moments, those things that I can clue into from my past, from those best moments of my life? And then how do you intentionally look forward and create the environments and create the opportunities that really have those same qualities? I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah. And Steve, I would love to tie this into something else that we're talking about offline, is this idea of inner motivation. You just really hit on something key that I think a lot of us walk around blind in life, right? We walk around just kind of blindly bumping up against people, jobs, partners, whatever life might look like. And what I'm hearing you suggest, Stephen, is to introspect and to get almost a snapshot of what is your inner motivation and how do you align with that? Can you talk to us a little bit more about what inner motivation is? And I think finding our core values is something that we aspire to, but it's so daunting that I was just thinking one of my business partners, we sat down to do this very task 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and you just kind of lose yourself down a values and motivation hole. It's like, oh, what about this? What about that? And then you kind of get lost in the puzzle pieces. How do you really synthesize that mm-hmm. into something meaningful?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I can only speak for myself, but I think that's also where the past can be such a good opportunity for us. Because when we look forward, we can say, oh, this is important to me. This is important to me. I want this. I want this. And it can just grow and grow and grow. But when you distill the past, and this is where a great coach can come in play or a great friend, when somebody else can reflect back to you how you tell a story of your greatest moments or of the moments that you want to replicate. And then they can distill for you the themes that come out. That's where you can start to also say, oh, okay, yeah, there might be 100 words on this vision board that I created. But when you talk about this, you light up when you say the word magical, or you light up when you talk about the word community, or, you know, and you can really start to gain some more insight into yourself by working with somebody is I think something that's valuable. I also think this idea of intentionality is really important. Like you were saying, we can walk around blind a lot. We can walk around saying, I want to get a job. Like, please, will somebody get me a job? Or I missed my opportunity for a job. But when you get intentional and you start to say, okay, I don't want just a job. I want a job that is going to, you know, you look forward, going to sustain me in a personal way that is going to be meaningful to me for years to come. That is with people who are like this, who resonate with my values, where I can see also the effects of my work in this way. Like some people are really motivated by getting to personally see the effect of what they're doing, you know, how they're serving people. And you get intentional about that. I think that is also just a great step. And you're kind of speaking to that already, but I think that idea of not just walking blind, but walking towards something that you're intentionally seeking.
Well, and Stephen, one of the things you talked about there in the past is, I mean, I say this all the time to my clients, which is don't walk away from something, walk towards something. Because if you walk away from something, you're going to get into the wrong thing next. If you walk towards something, and now that's not always possible. Sometimes we're in toxic environments, bullying, physical violence at its worst. And so you do, in that case, walk away and we'll figure out the rest later. I'm wondering though, you know, briefly actually, if you could take 1 minute and just give us like the rewind framework of your life. So you're in finance, then you're in Mary Poppins, and then you're in Sonoma running a theater company, and then you're in Ohio being a world-class coach. Can you just give us the quick journey of your past towards your future?
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's going to be hard to do 1 minute, but it'll be...
Do it.
I grew up being singing. I was a singer. And that, for some reason, just really resonated with me. And I would walk home from school singing to the houses and writing music in my head. And so I followed that through college. I got my equity card down at Disney World doing a musical of the Doug cartoon. If anybody knows Doug, funny, the cartoon. I ended up in New York City. And in the process of 9 years in New York City, ended up on Broadway, made my way to Broadway. It was a long and great journey to get there. In the process of doing that, I ended up at a hedge fund for a bit in New York. I actually had left the business for a year or so and then came back into the business. And every step of the way, I had to reexamine who I was and decide, do you face the fear? Do you up-level who you are to become what you want to become? Or do you run away, basically? And I think I've become who I've become, and I've been able to meet people like the two of you, you know, and become a really good friend of Brandon's because I faced the fear, stepped up, figured out what was really important to me and what was worth fighting for, and then moved through it. So after doing about a year in Mary Poppins on Broadway, actually, I was there for about 9 months, my friends came up with this idea of a theater company, and 14 of us quit our jobs and moved to Mexico. The idea, the core concept of this idea just resonated so much with me. We dedicated the next basically 3 years to making this happen. We didn't get paid for 3 years, but we ended up then moving up to Sonoma County and launching Broadway Under the Stars in Wine Country. Transcendence Theater Company is the name of the company. And we end up doing these Broadway Under the Stars shows with all these Broadway performers. I think it was like over 500 Broadway performers over the course of 8-9 years, and helping to save the state park, which we gave over $500,000 to. And turning this company into a $4 million company and really transforming the energy of that community. But that whole journey started with a group of artists getting very intentional and getting very rooted in what's important to us and what are we willing to stand behind for 3 years before it's real, to make real. And I think it does kind of illuminate what we're talking about.
Yeah, that is so powerful, Steve. I literally got chills as you were sharing that story. I mean, it's funny, actually, just before I came on here, I'm doing a series on Instagram and Facebook of 30 days of manifesting your dreams. And today's tip was actually something that you just touched on, which is an idea of restriction. You know, sometimes we want something so bad, right? We have this idea, or we want a job, or we want a person or a house. And sometimes we think, I'll just go full force after it. Or what I love that you just shared and was the magic of how you were able to birth something is that first you created a space. First you kind of restricted, which is the concept I was talking about today, is first you resist and you restrict because you need a space to give birth to something new. And it's only in that space that then you can step into whatever that next thing is. And I think sometimes I notice that with job seekers and also with people in relationships, is that you want something, you're like, oh, I want this job, this is meant for me, this is my job, and yet you're so attached to it that you might miss something, some critical information, or you might push the employer away because you're being so aggressive, because you're so passionate, where if you notice, it's the people who are interested and at the same time confident enough to be able to hold the space of whatever that looks like to know that, okay, I want this job, I'm willing to receive it, and if it's not willing to be mine, I'm okay with that. And that's really kind of the energy of what I heard you just describe in the theater company is that you wanted it so badly, and you could have easily, like that first moment you guys all quit your jobs, it's so tempting to go just, okay, full fire, here we go, we're gonna do this. But really the magic is in that space before you create the thing, right? Yeah.
Well, Jennifer, sorry, Stephen, I just want to point out something brilliant that you said, because I've seen this with Stephen. You said something so important, which is that you really did want it. You don't build a theater company out of nothing without desperately wanting it and sacrificing everything for it. And I think I also never realized how epic your life is, that you basically were in the two most ultimate New York jobs in history, hedge fund, Broadway. Like, that's it. If you'd worked in the fashion district, you would just sort of call it a career. And I think, though, Jennifer, you said something about job seekers. I just want to honor this as a recruiter and as a coach. People come to me and say, Brent, I didn't get that job that I wanted, that I focused and I wanted it. And I say, yeah, but in our sessions, you explained to me all the reasons you didn't want it. You're not that whisper that Stephen might talk about. Probably came out. They probably sensed that you didn't actually want it. And you can trick yourself. You might even be able to trick others, but eventually, if you're authentic, the truth will catch up to you and in an interview. So it's best that you listen to that whisper and listen to history. So Steve, I just want to turn back over to you.
And I'll tag onto that, because I think what you're really looking to do isn't, again, to get, it's not about one single job. It's about the environment that you want to create. It's about being very intentional about what you want to create in your life. And it could be that job, or it could be the next. If not this, something better. If not this, something better. But when you get really clued into what your values are and what you want to give to the world, and when you take the time to do that, whether that's through friends or a coach or through journaling or however it is, then when you can get more clear on that, then it doesn't become about one employer or one opportunity. It becomes about, I'm going to keep going. If it takes 3 years, you know, not saying that it should take that, but because this, I believe in this, and I know that what I'm seeking is seeking me.
That's a good line right there. What I'm seeking is seeking me.
I always like to think of it also in a sense of, like, when you talk about desperately wanting that employer of really, when you get solid within yourself about what your motivation is, you become more interested in the employer than asking them to be interested in you, because you start to ask them, what are the things that fuel you? What has really been passionate for you in this role, as opposed to trying to get them interested in yourself, if that makes sense.
Oh, it totally resonates. As far as talking about, you know, one of the things I love to say is don't just tell people what you've done. Tell them what you want to do next. I think we get into that trap with interviews and in life where we're like, I did this and I did that. And the passion comes from getting curious. And this has come up more times than I can count lately. Even with my daughter yesterday with curiosity, or today with Curious George yesterday and Albert Einstein today, right? I mean, cartoons are amazing these days. But the Albert Einstein secret, everyone thinks he's this genius. And the whole premise of what Albert Einstein did better than anyone in history is he asked questions. He got curious. And in doing that, he found the solutions. And I think we don't spend enough of our time being curious about other people. I think it's beautiful, Stephen.
It's totally, especially in the interview situation. When we were hiring people, I can remember two candidates specifically because of the questions they asked of us. All of a sudden, we are talking about our deepest passion for our company. And then you immediately love this candidate because they are connected with your deepest passion. The other people where we were just talking about their experience, or we were talking about, you know, whatever it is, was a whole different dynamic because they don't know you. They don't know the company in the way that they could if they really cared about what makes you engage with the company. So there's some power there.
Yeah, focused on emotional intelligence, it's about tuning into the kind of the inner ear rather than the outer ear and listening for what's in my highest and best good, what's in your highest and best good, and not just selfishly kind of trying to grab at life. Because when we're around people who have that grabby energy, whether it's a job, a relationship, it just makes you go, ooh, and just like kind of want to get that person, that thing off of you. And that ties me into actually my next question, Stephen, is you talk about this idea of having systems to regulate our emotions so that our emotions don't run us. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. Last week, I had a complete breakdown. I have three huge things all happening at the same time, and I needed to go to Paris for 3 days. I know, play me the smallest violin in the world. I hear you. But I just had a breakdown. You know, you just compile one thing on top of the other, and the internet went out. And here I am, and I have 3 to 4 hours of back-to-back work. I'm supposed to get to a friend's birthday, and my emotions just ran me. I'm so sorry. I apologize for Fauchon Hotel in Paris. I don't know how to say, je m'excuse, pardonnez-moi. I'm very sorry. Because I just was so frustrated. And so how can we self-regulate? I say that because we're all human beings. I spend hours a day in meditation. And yet sometimes even I still struggle with being a human being and the emotions that come up. How do we learn to self-regulate? What systems can we use?
Yeah, I think it's finding the tools that work for you that can get you over the immediate emotions that want to take you sideways. It is so easy right now with, I find myself all the time getting distracted. And it can be getting distracted from I sit down to work on this thing and all of a sudden I'm doing five other things. Or it can be getting distracted from your ultimate bigger goal. So that's where you have to find what works for you. I mean, certain things definitely work in terms of, from my experience, where, you know, blocking time is very important. If you allow yourself to ride the roller coaster of trying to get a job and get the highs and the lows of they liked me, they didn't like me, you could ride that roller coaster and get way off course. But if you have a system time blocked where, you know, on Mondays, I am going to send out 5 emails to somebody. Or, you know, I'm going to send a thank you note the day after. I'm going to, you know, that you have the time blocked already for or how you're going to do it. Then all you have to do is show up and do what you said you're going to do. Be honest with yourself and forget the roller coaster of emotions, right? Another one that I'll say, too, that I think has been why Brandon has been such an influential person in my life is that having an accountability partner. You know, like we're trying to find a way to hack the emotions. So, you know, hack the emotion of I'm going to get bored or I'm going to like hide from this thing. Have an accountability partner like Brandon and I have been for each other. And now all of a sudden, now I'm accountable to somebody. And now my emotion is saying I need to show up and do this thing that I'm afraid of doing because I have to go to Brandon and tell him I didn't do it if I didn't. So that's another tool that I think is maybe underused by some people.
Yeah. And I think finding that, and me and Stephen have been accountability partners for over a decade now. But and finding that one of the things we do, we'll end every call with that, what's an action we're going to take? And we'll usually do personal and business, even though I think they're always intertwined. And a lot of times that's tied into health. But one of the tricks we'll use sometimes is if the person's not getting, for whatever reason, the block to what they probably should be doing, then Stephen or I will say, hey, can I give you something I think you really should be focusing on? And it's usually the thing, right? We've listened, we've gotten better over the years where we kind of say the thing the other person's thinking. But a good accountability partner will also see that whisper in yourself and make you honor it. Stephen actually gave me the best advice I've ever gotten, which is actually about not doing something, which I was really putting off this thing. It went against my identity, my approach, but it was something you were supposed to do. You were just supposed to do this thing. And we do this a lot in our lives. We're like, you're supposed to get the certification. You're supposed to do this. That's what everyone else does. And after putting off about a year, Stephen goes, maybe you're not doing because you don't want to do it. Like maybe you're not doing because you shouldn't do it. Like, isn't that a possibility? And I was like, wake up, like in a second. And I realized he's right. I haven't had it for 9 years. It hasn't affected me at all. And I would have put myself through so much pain versus what I could do at that time. Stephen, what I endure though is different than Jennifer. I think you and Jennifer are actually a lot more alike maybe than me and you are, even though you're one of my, as you know, best friends in the world. I struggle with, I do know I want to do something and I should do that thing. And I need a thing like getting up the website, which I've been putting off for like a year, although I paid someone to do it, although I've got all the information. Yeah. How do you self-regulate to do the thing that you do have to do when you're not doing it?
Well, I mean, that's where a good coach can come into play. I'll say what you have to do is
myself. Got it.
You've got a teeter-totter, right? On one side, you've got the not doing it, which is really, right now, it seems like it's pretty heavy for you. So you have to wait up the other side of doing it.
Yeah.
And it's that joyful and meaningful and powerful for you, and that you have enough support around it that the teeter-totter rebalances and that you do it. I mean, that's kind of my visualization for it, I would think.
Yeah, and my why. Like, why am I not doing it helped? Jennifer, what's up?
New tools, yeah.
So here's a thought for anybody out there as something to practice that I put into practice probably about 5 or 10 years ago, is it's intentions. We started off today talking about the power of having an intention. And I like to look at intentions not just as a goal. It's something you're actually intending. Even the word intent has a completely different visceral experience when you talk about it. And so something that I find can be very beneficial. I remember I read an article years ago from a CEO who said that every Sunday he set his intentions for the entire week, whatever it was. It could be personal intentions. It could be ontological, who you want to be, how you want to be perceived. It could be things you want to accomplish. And you go through and you write all those down. So to tie into what Brandon just said is that then what you could do is assign a percentage of importance. So say you have 30 things you want to accomplish during the course of a week, a month, a day, a year, whatever, take your pick, whatever works, right? And what you do then is, let's say, getting the website up. If you were to weigh that, you know, taking care of your daughter, priority number one, you know, maybe that's 50% priority, yeah. Wife, 45% priority, which leaves you 5% to work with, you know, everything else. I don't know if I just got that math right, by the way, so forgive me.
Got it. 50 daughter. My wife, though, is very self-sustaining, so 45% is something else. But yeah, I'd say 75% daughter and the rest.
75% company. So I say that jokingly. But and at the
same time, I know. You got the math right, though.
Yeah, you really want to focus on what matters most. And sometimes we don't realize, like somebody I love deeply sometimes struggles with this as well, is we don't know how to self-regulate and how to prioritize. You know, there's something that might be fun, like scanning Twitter or Facebook, but there might be some, or watching your favorite Netflix show, and there might be something that doesn't feel as fun. So you have to figure out what's a balance. How am I going to be able to honor myself and be able to honor the people and the commitments I have? And I think the biggest thing is even recommit to yourself, Brandon, because sometimes, you know, how frustrated would we be if our best friend said, oh, you know, Brandon, I'm going to help you come clean out that spare bedroom that I've been promising you about. And your friend promises, and you really need help with that spare bedroom. And then the friend, you know, doesn't do it. You're going to be calling them, hey, bud, are you still there? Are you still available to help? Well, we don't do that to ourselves. We don't go, hey, bud, you know, are you still available to help? And so it's this level of internal accountability. When we learn how to be internally accountable, which actually was another manifesting tip that I shared a week or so ago, that's where you can really create magic. Miracles can happen when we can learn to regulate our own accountability. And might I add and underline, not from a place of shaming yourself, not from a place of guilt. I even go through, Brandon, an exercise every night of saying, hey, how could I have lived today better? And sometimes it's that I didn't do the thing that I was intending. And so then that goes to priority number one the following morning. Does that make
Absolutely.
Sense?
Absolutely makes sense. And it's interesting because I'm finding this more and more in my in my professional career, I'm very good at finding these people. I'd like to say I like the people who want to do the work. I actually say I help the helpers, but I also love to help those who are willing to help themselves. And that's why I'm so hard on myself when I'm not living that intent. Because what I don't have a lot of patience for is we have the same problem and we're talking about a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. I have a friend who's been struggling for years. I just saw them in Los Angeles. And I feel like they're just finally, after 2 decades of the same conversation, it was the most enjoyable conversation we've had in 2 decades because they finally get it. Whether they act on it's different, but it's finally broken through. And so I think it just takes us longer for certain people, or we don't talk to people. And one thing I did do with the website was I reached out to like 20 people. And that's one of my tricks for accountability is if I can, I'll let myself down, but I won't let my accountability partner, Stephen, down. Where I have a few clients that are on me right now, which is annoying, right? I don't want to take their time so they can coach me, but that's what I call my work, what I've established is partnership. And a partner, as one of my clients explained to me, is just someone who's willing to endure with you. That's true in work and that's true in personal life. You want someone who's going to go through it with you. And if you're in pain, feel it with you, but also kick your butt. All right, that's my kick my butt. So Stephen, what else? You know, one of the things we talked about in the lost tapes, I call it, right? This is the podcast I'm meant to do, but I did another podcast that you were on around conquering our fears.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talked about on that show was your passion in the midst of building the theater, in the midst of being on Broadway, in the midst of, is to write your own music and to bring it to life. And that is the thing that fuels you and eliminates that fear within you. How do we find time for that in the midst of running our job? To Jennifer's point, you're taking care of your family, you're taking care of yourself, you're doing your actual job. And then you've got this like passion that's maybe not going to pay 100% of the bills, but also fuels you. How do you honor that?
Well, it's interesting because it is still a part of my journey now. I think the really cool thing about passion and purpose, like when you find what your why is that it can transfer between what you're doing. It could come out in building a theater company. It can come out in writing a song and working with your wife. My wife and I have developed a show together over the last 3 months, which is exciting.
Can you tell everyone what your wife's name is? Because she's incredible.
And Libby Servais. She's a Broadway actress as well. And but also I'll say that same passion is what I discovered in coaching, where the key for me is igniting transformation in others, long and deep transformation that ripples through their lives and through their legacy. And I can do that. I've got obsessed with doing that with music and with performing, because you can create that moment on stage that somebody feels like, oh my gosh, I'm changed. But then as a coach, and even like what you guys do with this radio show as well, to be able to do that for somebody one-on-one and see the light bulb turn on and then see their entire legacy change or their entire, you know, next step, that excites me. So for me, it's kind of, I'm juggling the creative arts with the arts of being able to serve other people in other ways. But it's just a time management thing at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, because I've gotten personal today, I'm going to ask you to get a little personal. One of the things that we've talked about for years with you is sleep, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
That's like that. And as your friend and as your accounting partner, Dad taught them for sleep. You know, how you've been able to conquer that, or why that continues to be something that when if Jennifer made her list of manifestations, right? I always feel like that's at the top. And so I'm wondering, when we have that continuous intent that we have that stays with us. And I know as your friend, it's because you're a creative genius, because you're busy, because you're running a theater company, because you're doing 100 things. Yeah. And it's the idea of turning it off at 8 is almost, it's almost adorable, right? It's not going to happen. But I'd love to hear what you would tell others that maybe have that same intent year after year.
Yeah. Well, I'll come clean. So for about 5 years, Brandon would be like, so Stephen, what do you need to work on? I'm like, I just need to go to bed by 9 p.m. or by 10 p.m. or whatever. Like if I could just conquer that in the literally like every time we talk. And then eventually called me out on it, was like, Stephen, you've been talking about this for 5 years. And so what really helped me with it was actually stopping, taking it off the list and focusing on other things. Now also being... Because that's the beauty of having somebody you can reflect with, having an accountability partner, was that just to your point, Brandon, about the thing before that you were saying that you'd been holding on your list for, yeah. for a long time, you may have sat with that without somebody to reflect that with you. You could have sat that with that for your whole life and felt guilty about it or felt bad about it. I could have been sitting here telling myself for another 15 years that if I got enough sleep, my life would be good. But really, it was focusing on the other things that would create the environment for getting good sleep. Yeah. So, like I needed to regulate my lifestyle, the choices I was making with business hours, with all these other things, and then the sleep fell into place. But it, you can only pound the same rock long enough, and it doesn't move, and then you got to figure out what else is going to move.
That is awesome. That's such a good analogy, Jennifer. What are your thoughts? I love that.
Well, I was going to say, Stephen, I resonate with that. You know, sleep is so important. And what I hear you saying is that it's the ontology. It's like when we shift, sometimes we try to do things, right? Sometimes we try to do going to bed by 8 or 9 or whatever it is. Where in essence, I remember learning in Landmark Worldwide many years ago, there was a concept about the beingness, like who are you being? There was an exercise where you looked at, okay, what's an area of my life that's not working? And you could look at your career, you could look at, you know, your relationships, whatever it was. And I remember many years ago, I was 25, I think, at the time, I thought I had my life together, but kind of hidden behind all of that, I was bulimic. And I had been bulimic from when I was 15 mm-hmm. years old. My cheerleading coach had taught us all, hey, girls, you know, if you drink too much, eat too much, just stick your fingers down your throat. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm making light of it now, but it was a very serious thing that I went through for 10 years. And I say this because I went through this program, Landmark, highly recommend it. They do great online programs as well. And what happened was in this one exercise, I was so ashamed, I wouldn't even write down, you know, talk about things you want to fix. You wake up every day and you're like, please let me stop doing this. But it's like banging your head against a wall. You just don't stop. And so one day I do this exercise, what's not working? So I'm ashamed and I write down health. I'm clearly not going to write down, you know, throwing up every day. And I looked at what's missing that would make a difference, which is a really great question that since I learned this in Landmark, I asked every job seeker I ever worked with, what's missing in your job now that if it were there, would have you be happy, right? Mm-hmm. Or have you have fulfillment, purpose, contentment? And in that moment, when I got what was missing was discipline, it was so ontological. It was not the doing. It wasn't stopping throwing up. The moment that I just said, oh, I'm creating the possibility of being disciplined, I just never throw up again. And it's that powerful, though, and that salient that I wanted to drive that point home that you just made, because we're in this month on emotional intelligence. Sometimes it can really be bringing awareness to that blind spot that we have of what's missing, and not necessarily a doing, not necessarily a going out and a getting to bed by 8 or applying for 100 more jobs in a week, but it's what's missing from an ontological of beingness standpoint that can shift who we are as human beings.
That's so well said. And I so appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, Jennifer, me too. I've never heard you. I didn't know that. We've known each other a long time. And one of my closest people in my life suffers from bulimia. And so thank you for sharing that sincerely. It got me verklempt, as the word goes. But I so understand you and understand why, to use your word ontological, when you shift into, you're one of the most disciplined people I've ever met. And so once you shifted it to your superpower, and that makes so much sense to me, you were like, wait, I have a superpower that will allow me to vanquish this villain, right? Or whatever it is. I love that. Is that you're laughing, but is that what's up?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's funny. I was walking down the street the other day in Portugal and I realized I stopped sharing that story. It's like one of the most monumental things in my life that I don't even share anymore. And it's about the idea, to your point, Brandon, it's about vanquishing the villains and realizing that we all have superpowers, emotional superpowers, strength that we didn't know we had. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes being knocked down, working 100 hours a week, you know, not honoring our health, our bodies, being in unhealthy, you know, professional relationships, personal relationships. Mm-hmm. And when do we say enough is enough? And what does it take for us to shine that flashlight on the thing that we can't yet see?
I am here for all this. This is so good. I mean, I'm a superhero nerd, but it is so true. I use a Superman analogy, but it's like, Stephen talks so much about environment. It's like, it doesn't matter. You put your man in a palace made of kryptonite and he's going to be weak. 100%. And I love what we're talking about. The villain, we so often make it external, but it is so often the villain lives within. Now, granted, that's a bad coach. In my case, some bad teachers. There's a lot of people who put that villain in us, don't get me wrong, which is what you point out. Young Jennifer wasn't like, this is my idea. So I'm a pretty bad person. But it doesn't matter. The villain stays. And to vanquish that villain comes from that self-awareness, that self-regulation.
And how amazing that, how transformational that moment was for you. And all it took was, to your point, shining a flashlight, asking the right question. You know, the power of, it seems like we need to do all these different things to get better or to get, but it took getting quiet and getting asked the right question and answering that question. And that changed your life in a moment. And that is amazing.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm full, as we say in Coaches Training Institute. I feel very full. And we could keep going. Stephen, any takeaways? Because I want people to know where to find you, and I want to do one other thing before we leave. Any takeaways for people to get their dream job, to get the job, which is called the job from now on. I like that. Stephen gave us our mantra now. It's not the dream job, it's the job.
Get yourself the job.
Get yourself the job, right? We should have seen that one coming. Thanks, Coach. Yeah. But no, any tips you have for getting the job or regulating or anything else that you think the audience would benefit from?
Well, I think that the big takeaway for me from our conversation is that you've got to be an investigator. You've got to be a scientist or whatever it is, finding those clues for you of what are the pieces you can put in place for you that are going to allow you to outlast those emotional waves when they come. They're going to come. There's going to be times when you feel like you're top of the world, and there's going to be times that you really feel like, oh my gosh, nobody wants to hire me. But if you can, you put the people in place, can you put the system in place, can you put the habits in place that can last you through those? And I think that is the thing to be on the lookout for.
Boom.
Yeah.
So let's do a whole other episode maybe in the future with around habits, Jennifer. And Steve, with your permission, I may share as a link, if there's a way to do shit here, because I already have an idea of, for the second time I have you back, I might share a link to the second song as like,
well,
a fun.
Yeah.
Always been my dream. But I love to have another show where we talk about formulation of habits, which I do think you're one of the best in the world at doing. Where can people find you? Where can people see your amazing wife and do your thing? I mean, where in the world?
Yeah. Well, my name is Stephen Stubbins. I spell it weird. It's a PHAN and Stephen, but stephenstubbins.com. You can work with me. You can join my, I have a little email newsletter that I send out a different poem every week, which is kind of unique.
Very good.
But I love working with people seeking transformation and looking for more lasting success and satisfaction in their lives. And I love having conversations like this with people like you. It lights me up. And I really appreciate what you guys are bringing into the world and all the people that you are serving.
It's beautiful. And Stephen, if anyone wants to follow you or Libby or anything like that and see your art as well, which you're a world-class coach, you're a world-class artist, anything they can find for, seek out that as well?
Yeah, seek me out on Instagram. Libby Survey is my wife's name, LibbyServais. You can find her on Instagram, and then you can find me on Instagram as well as at Stephen Stubbins, StephanStubbins.
Right.
And that's the best way to get connected with us and all that we're doing.
Yeah, and we'll try to share all the ways to get a hold of Stephen in the future. You're amazing. Jennifer, any final closing thoughts?
I'm just so grateful that we're able to come together and just to be authentic. You know, I know that's one of your favorite words, Brandon, and I just really feel sometimes, you know, we hide behind all of these facades, speaking of theater and the masks we wear and the bravados we put on. And sometimes what really makes the biggest difference, whether it's with a friend, a colleague, a significant other, is just being raw, being emotional, and just sharing what's in your heart, what's in your space. So thank you guys for giving me the space. And thank you to each of you out there listening to be able to offer a listening space that I was able to share that in. I just feel very touched that we are all able to experience that. It really opened something up for me, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful and honored that we all got to have this conversation together. So thank you, Stephen Stebbins, for being here. Thank you to my amazing co-host, Brandon Maslin, and thank you to each of you out there. You know, whatever you are going through right now, just know you are not alone. Know that you do have the strength to get through this. It might not feel like it. You're allowed to feel sad. You're allowed to feel angry. And in fact, a dear friend of mine who is a thought leader was over supporting my loved one the other day who was in pain. And she said, you know, there's a book out there called Zero Pain Now. And he said, you know, you just go around and you say, what I'm feeling now is I feel sad. I feel happy. I feel angry. And to get connected, I think this whole month has been about bringing conscious awareness to the emotions we're feeling and to allow ourselves and give us permission to be exactly where we are. So thank you all for your listening, for your time. Thank you to Sam and everyone at LA Talk Radio. And if you missed any portion of this episode, you want to check it out, listen to it again, you can always find it on the Facebook page for LA Talk Radio. It's there, and you can watch the video as well. Or you can go to iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, most of the places where podcasts are found, you can find the show. And we certainly welcome any ratings, anything you'd like to share. Your comments are welcomed. And we thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.